comic books, movies, TV, and more. Nerds are everywhere. It's time to assemble! It's Nerds United, a Jittery Monkey podcast. Here's your host, Greg Mahochko.
Welcome back, everybody, to Nerds United, the Nerd Dome, and it's a kind of an eerie feeling in the Nerd Dome this time around because there's some storms in our area, and my dogs, the Wonder Pups, they don't like storms. It's not their area. The lightning, I think, they handle okay, but at one point there was a bit of thunder. Both dogs who are laying on the couch, they look up, they look over at me at the same time, synchronized confusion and a little fear before eventually putting their heads back down. And they've done that every time that the thunder has boomed in the evening sky. So just a little update. My dogs, my wife and I, of course, they love her much more than me, and I'm all right with that, but they don't like their kennels. We keep them in the kennel, especially when we leave the house, but we had, for years, kept them in their kennel at night, with the rare exception, sometimes we let them, you know, out of the kennels, if we were gone most of the day, you know, things like that. Try not to keep them penned up too much. But about a week ago, I said, you know, let's just see how it works. We'll just keep the doors of the house open and let the dogs come and go as they please. And it worked out really well. The first morning after, we woke up. Lucky, our older dog was laying on the floor in the bedroom, and Coco was out on the couch. Hey, sweet. We didn't have to sacrifice any room in the bed. Well, in the days that followed, it's four bodies in one queen-size bed, and of course the dogs are laying between my wife and I, and I'm pressed, you know, almost pushed off the edge of the bed, and everybody just thinks that's hilarious when I tell them that, until they hear the time that I actually was pushed off the bed by Lucky once. And she didn't seem to care. So there's that. But anyway, aside from, you know, the lightning and thunder, the dog's pretty content right now. I think most of the storm is passed on, so they're sleeping on the couch, which is good, because I'm sitting on the other couch talking, and that seems to be working pretty well also. I wanted to cover a few things tonight in the realm of comic books, movies, and television. And I wanted to start with television, particularly animated series. I'm 32, so I was young and impressionable during the 90s, of course, and the fantastic X-Men animated show, as well as the Spider-Man cartoon of the mid-90s. There are a few other ones as well that I watched, but not as fervently. Fantastic Four, Iron Man, they were okay. The big one, really, I think the holy grail, if you will, of the animated cartoons of the comic book variety, and I don't think many people would argue with me, Batman the Animated Series. And it was after the Tim Burton Batman came out, you know, it was post-1989, it was in the 90s, I think 92. What's funny about that that show is that some of the creators were initially on Tiny Toons. If you remember Tiny Toons, Buster and Babs, Bunny and Plucky Duck and Hampton J. Pig, and I'm rattling off far more names than I have to prove my point, but it was Elmira and the rich kid. He was kind of a jerk. I can't remember his name all of a sudden. Monty. I can't remember, but Dizzy Devil, Dodo. Anyway, I'm getting too far off the beaten path. But what's funny is that some of the main people involved with that show, suddenly you see their names popping up in the credits of Batman the Animated Series. And for whatever reason, if it was its tone, if it was the way that it respected its audience and the source material, people my age, you know, going back now and watching it again, and it's a show that holds up. So kudos to Batman the Animated Series. Unfortunately, I think because of its popularity, it is not on Netflix. So if you want to watch it, I think you have to go the more paid route, perhaps getting it on iTunes or Amazon, instant video, or going and buying the DVD sets. So, but Batman the Animated Series, since then I've been watching a lot, probably more than I should be admitting, of animated comic book, you know, inspired, you know, cartoons on Netflix, including Justice League, Unlimited, Batman, Brave and the Bold, which was a kind of a bit more campy 1966 kind of feel to it, a little bit more funny and irreverent, but did a great job, I thought, of expanding the DC animated universe and getting a lot of those characters out there that, you know, certainly you didn't get that exploration in Batman the Animated Series. There was no Plastic Man or Aquaman in that show, or Blue Beetle, Jaime Reyes, even that Blue Beetle. It's not Ted Kord, Booster Gold, you know, things like that. Just ways of expanding the universe and getting these characters, because at the end of the day, you know, kids or teens or, you know, 20 or 30 somethings, you know, when they go to the store, if they're shopping online, things like that, they'll be like, oh man, I remember watching this episode with Booster Gold or with Blue Beetle, and man, it was just really funny. I want to learn more about those characters. I think that's how, for many of us, how it starts, you know, and one interest feeds, you know, that in another medium, be it the books feeding the interest in the TV show or vice versa. So it was another great reason why I had such a big appreciation of Justice League Unlimited, because there were, I mean, the Justice League was really expanded beyond the traditional Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, Aquaman, Flash, you know. So it was really, really well done in that regard. But Batman Beyond, it was also on, or I think it is on Netflix, and I was able to go back and watch that. And another show that took the Batman, you know, character and made some alterations, stayed true, I think, to the overall feel. And I said it before, but respecting the audience, not trying to, you know, talk down to the demographic like many cartoons do. So another one that I was a big fan of, even in its beginning. You got to remember with Batman Beyond, and I was probably too young to remember this with Batman the Animated Series, but Batman Beyond had a primetime premiere. It wasn't one of those right after school types of things or Saturday morning, but it was primetime, dark and edgy, and just that the kind of feel to it that that you would want, kind of what we're seeing now with more of the live action shows, the Gotham, the Flash, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the Arrow, you know, things like that. Just they're treating these characters very reverently and giving them a spot where they can hopefully succeed. So I'm looking for big things out of this fall season of television. There has been another one. Now, I might be a little bit biased, but Green Lantern, the animated series, there, I believe, one season of it. It's a 24-26 episode. It's a full run of a season. You can check it out on Netflix. It's another one that did a really good job of expanding the Green Lantern universe. I mean, if you think about, you know, the Green Lantern character and how he's space traveler, essentially, you know, Hal Jordan did a good job of exploring the other colors of the spectrum, the other powering wielders, be it the Star Sapphires or the Blue Lanterns. The Red Lanterns were a big part, especially early on in the show. Even Larfleeze, the Orange Lantern, had an episode. And so just a great way to expand the series and kind of get an idea of, you know, drawing up some interest for those characters. And where Green Lantern, the animated series, could have very easily stuck with the same villains that, you know, we're more familiar with, Sinestro, Hector Hammond, and Parallax, and things like that. They really stretched it out in the latter episodes, bringing in the Anti-Monitor. So, again, very well done approach. To my knowledge, there's only been the one season. But if you know me, or at least follow the show enough, you know that I can attest to this. There's a very rich history for Green Lanterns, and even this particular one got Guy Gardner involved, as well as Hal Jordan. No Kyle Rayner or John Stewart, but Guy Gardner was there, Hal Jordan, Kilowog, the main ones, and I was hoping to see one thing happen throughout the, or by the end of the series or season, and I didn't see it yet. I encourage you to watch it, and I'm not going to spoil it for you. I'm not going to tell you what I was hoping to see, but check that out. I don't think you'll be disappointed, because it's a well-done show. I mentioned a few minutes ago about being a kid in the 90s and watching that X-Men series. It's one of those I remember vividly. I'd come home from school. It would be on at 3:30. I believe it was Channel 12 at the time. So I'd be sitting there on the couch. I'd have my schoolwork in front of me, which was pointless because I was watching cartoons. It was a staple. X-Men for me was a staple when it was on. Another one was Disney's Gargoyles. And I could watch that. In fact, I think I did watch that for a number of years before got too busy, or, you know, grew up and had baseball practice or whatever it was. But that was another fun show to watch. So, off topic, just a little bit. So a lot of them out there. But anyway, going back to the X-Men series, I recently came across Wolverine and the X-Men on Netflix. I've a few episodes in. It is an established X-Men team that's all of a sudden struck by, you know, sudden tragedy when there's an explosion. Professor Xavier goes missing. In the, you know, that's not a spoiler because that's the first 30 seconds of the show, of the series. But then you have Wolverine kind of tasked with bringing the X-Men back together and forming this team and going after Professor X. So it was a different spin. I'm not too far into it, but I've enjoyed what little bit I've seen. So what I've been watching on Netflix, this is way off topic, but I've been binge watching, if you will, if I'm allowed to use that particular phrase, Parks and Recreation. I know that it's got a huge following. I'm very late onto the bandwagon for it, but I've enjoyed it. I'm not a huge Amy Poehler fan, but after watching Guardians of the Galaxy, seeing Chris Pratt, I'm like, you know, I'll give it a shot. I'm a fan of Aziz Ansari and some of his stand-up comedy, so I thought, maybe. And it's a show, you know, I didn't know that much, honestly, about Ron Swanson, Nick Offerman, but I thought I'd give it a shot, and I'm really glad I did. I'm enjoying it. I'm already just about to the end of season two, and I started it 2 weeks ago, so I harassed my wife from time to time about her binge watching on some of her shows. Apparently I'm just as bad. So, honey, if you're listening, I'm sorry. Moving on to books. Got a question on the Facebook page earlier today. Josh wanted to know, he said, "Hey, and you, Nerds United, wondering if you can answer a question or a few. I've started reading the New 52 Aquaman," and he says that it's fantastic, by the way, which is very much in line with all of the reviews that I've heard about New 52 Aquaman. When Geoff Johns took it over at the reboot a couple of years back, which I think we're up to almost 3 years now, 2011, September 2011, I believe, brought a kind of a different take, more serious. One term that was tossed around, one adjective was badass regarding Aquaman. No longer the butt of the jokes or the punchline, but a very different approach to the character. Anyway, Josh continues, he says, "In the second trade paperback, it focuses a lot on him and the others. Wondering if there's a backstory written for them yet, or if Johns created them for this story." He adds, "I thought I read they're getting their own book, but couldn't see if it was if that was taking up from Aquaman or their origins, etc. Thanks." Josh did a little research. By that I mean I went to Google, like all good podcast hosts, and came across comicvine.com. And comicvine.com, when discussing The Others, says, "The Others was formed in the relaunch of the DC Universe as part of Aquaman's universe. They were created by Geoff Johns and Ivan Reiss. A group of remarkable individuals banded together with Aquaman in his war against Black Manta. At some point in time, Aquaman brought them to the tomb of the First King to claim some Atlantean relics, which he wants to use as bait to lure Black Manta." So looks like it's pretty much a new 52, new 52 story for and a bunch of new characters for this new story. So that's where I'm at. Hopefully there's an origin story if you're a fan of that character or that group, that assembly. Aquaman is one of those that I have put off. It's one of those I wanted to read but was not the highest priority, so I haven't picked it up yet. Aquaman, New 52 stuff. Maybe, you know, I'm always looking to be inspired by, you know, what somebody's recommending, so sounds like Aquaman from the New 52 is something that I should maybe not wait so long, not put off as long, and maybe be looking at picking that up. A couple of the other ones that I've picked up that were not stories that I joined in from the beginning were Justice League Dark and Wonder Woman, and I've read Volume 1 of each of those, and I think Volume 2 of Justice League Dark, enjoyed those as well. So the thing that I did read finally, I can say this, that I finally got around to reading The Trinity War, and it was just as good as I expected it to be, and I was wholly kicking myself for waiting as long as I did to finish it. The good news, though, is I got the hardcover variety of it, which included, and I have it nearby, so I'm going to grab it real quick so I can, I don't know, accurately tell you the contents as we look at the back here. Trinity War collects the complete Trinity War saga from Justice League 22-23, Justice League Dark 22-23, Justice League of America 6 and 7, Trinity of Sin Pandora 1 through 3, Constantine number 5, Trinity of Sin The Phantom Stranger 11, and New 52 Free Comic Book Day Special for 2012. So it is action-packed. It was a heck of a read. I started it on a Saturday evening. Picked it up only on Saturday, started it Saturday evening, and had it done by Monday. It was one of those, I'm awake, I'm sitting here, I'm going to read comics. So now that I've read Trinity War, I can read Forever Evil, which I've already started number one. Andrew had asked that question a couple weeks back, and then we'll get to Future's End, and whatever event DC is going to throw at us next, because I still am reading Original Sin on the Marvel side, as well as Iron Fist and Moon Knight, but I'm equally behind on them, as well as Green Lantern, Batman, Green Lantern. I'm behind. Let's just leave it at that. I'm behind. And I'm still reading the Rick Riordan book from the Percy Jackson series, The Heroes of Olympus, and I'm still reading House of Hades. It has been busy. My mind is full of fictional characters, people that don't exist, but they bring me joy and peace and calm, a sense of calm just to read. I don't know if that is a sense that's universal, but there's something to me that's cathartic about sitting down with a book, be it regular or comic, fiction or non, really, and just reading and kind of letting the real world, you know, just go by the wayside for even if it's for a half hour in the evening. It's usually much, much longer than that. An hour, you know, 2 hours. I have taken to reading when I go to bed, which works okay sometimes. It's going to work out all right now because my wife's already in bed, and by the time that I get this recorded onto the computer, get it edited, produce the show, get it posted for Thursday's publish, as you're hearing it, it's probably Thursday or beyond. By the time I get to bed after doing all that, she's going to be asleep. So reading is okay because I have to have some light. The dogs will be in there. It'll be a good time. Like I said, very relaxing. But at times, sometimes I just read too long. You know, when you read too long, especially if you're reading in bed and you start to fall asleep and then you drop the book on your face. That's happened recently. So we can put that one by the wayside. But if you haven't read it yet, pick up Trinity War, and then you can get Forever Evil, Future's End, and we'll all be happy little readers together. From the cinematic side of things, wanted to let you know, I mentioned Chris Pratt in Guardians of the Galaxy a little bit ago. We can honestly, factually say, and this is a report from Variety.com, in case it was trending on Facebook Wednesday evening, but Guardians of the Galaxy hits $500 million at the worldwide box office. Over half of that is domestic, $255.2 million domestically as of Monday, winning the box office this past weekend again. It was, for a couple weeks, I think Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, maybe even something else snuck in there, but Guardians of the Galaxy, people are going back. People, I see it on my news feed on Facebook, they're going back a second or even a third time to watch that movie. It might do better than Captain America Winter Soldier, and could be the year's top domestic grosser. Disney noted that it also released the year's fifth highest domestic grosser with Maleficent at $237.6 million. But Guardians of the Galaxy is so much fun. It's not your typical comic book movie. There's a little bit more emphasis on comic. It's a comedy, in my opinion, with a little bit of action that takes place in space. So if you haven't yet, you might be the only one left who hasn't seen Guardians of the Galaxy. On a slightly related note, since the last time we talked, if you don't know, I work used to work in radio, but now I'm in the auto retail industry. Yeah, I'm a car salesman. But I was talking with some folks a couple of weeks ago, and they happened to be on, it was their 47th wedding anniversary, and they were going to go down to Red Lobster. At the nearest Red Lobster to us is about an hour away. And so I was talking to them about a minivan, 2014 Chrysler Town & Country, if it's important. I don't know if it is or not. But so in visiting with them, you know, and I called them the next morning, say, hey, how was Red Lobster? And have you had a chance to think more about the Chrysler Town & Country? And in that conversation, in visiting with this woman, she said that before they went to a Red Lobster, they stopped and caught an afternoon show. It was Guardians of the Galaxy. And she thought that Baby Groot, spoiler alert, was adorable and was also a big fan of Rocket Raccoon. So when they actually came back a week later or so and got a van from us, bought a van from me, which is super nice of them. Always appreciate that. But what we do is we send out a letter a few days after the purchase, and it's basically a form, you know, thank you for doing business with us, if you have any questions, yada, yada, yada. And then I always throw in a little personal note at the bottom, and in that note I said, I hope that you enjoy your Chrysler Town and Country, and in quotes, I put, I am Groot. So hopefully they got a little bit of a kick out of that. She also was very familiar with the Green Lantern logo. She says that she sees that shirt all the time when she does the laundry. So very cool, very nice folks, very good movie, and very successful as well. So you can bank on it. There's going to be a Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Question is, how will that story unfold after Marvel's Age of Ultron? And I guess that'd probably be Phase 3 of Marvel's plan. So it is, folks, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, nerds of all ages, it is a good time to be a nerd. We are taking over the world. One podcast, one comic book, one, forum discussion at a time, I think. One movie. Guardians of the Galaxy should not have made $500 million at the worldwide box office. If you think about it, it was not a group of characters that many avid comic book fans knew, let alone the casual observer. And yet, they filmed it in such a way, they marketed it in such a way, and they presented it in such a way that it was organic, it was fun, and it was wildly successful. So kudos to the folks there at Marvel. James Gunn for his script and his direction. Now, if you think about it, what can DC do to get some of that back? Because 2016 is a long ways away. 2015's going to be here before you know it. But 2016 and Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice, is a long ways away. And there was something I caught a link, I think it was from Geek Tyrant. They were talking, somebody had posted an article about no jokes in the DC cinematic universe, and how that's coming from up top, because and they used Green Lantern the movie as their reason. Well, we tried jokes, it didn't work. I don't know if jokes were the problem with Green Lantern. I'm looking forward to sitting down with a recent guest, Toby Gullion, here shortly, and we're going to watch Green Lantern and provide audio commentary, because it's a fun movie. It's not a great movie. We'll get more into that for the next episode or so. But it is a, I don't know. Like I said, I don't think the lightheartedness of that particular show or that particular movie was the problem with it. So we'll see. But while we're talking about movies, some of you have probably heard, if not seen, the movie Fanboys. It's about a group of Star Wars enthusiasts who plan to break into the Skywalker Ranch and see Star Wars Episode I Phantom Menace before one of them was about to give way to leukemia, cancer, something. I want to pass along knowledge to you of this movie that is being kind of based out of St. Louis. And the name of the movie is Four Color Eulogy. And you can go to fourcolorthemovie.com and read the synopsis and everything else that you need to know about it. You can also just go Four Color Eulogy on Facebook, like their page. I had read the plot, the synopsis. It's something, because it's somewhat regional, I'd really like to get some of these folks onto my show. Hasn't quite happened yet, obviously. But As I pull up the website real quick, and I just want to give you just a rundown, a quick synopsis of the film. But it is comic book inspired. I mean, the sub tag is family, friends, and comic books. And just real quick from their website again, forcolorthemovie.com. Growing up, the only child of a single mother, aspiring comic book creator Chris, try saying that five times fast, I couldn't spit it out once, escaped St. Louis 10 years ago and moved to Portland with his girlfriend Anne, forging a new life for himself. But when Chris learns that his mother is ill, he and Anne have no choice but to pack up their lives and move back home. Uprooted, his life completely disrupted, Chris is forced to face his mother's mortality and that nagging old childhood question, who is his father? Why wasn't he around? With the help of his childhood buddy Brian, a pop culture geek, and family friend mentor Rich, a bartender with a creative secret, Chris will have to determine what's more important, the hero's origin or his ongoing journey. They describe Four Color Eulogy as a dramatic comedy that shows it's never too late to let go of the past, and it's never a good time to laugh at death, even when it's funny. So, I encourage you to go again, forcolorthemovie.com, or on Facebook, Four Color Eulogy. Give them a like and tell them to be guests on my show. It's a little self-serving, yes, but don't judge me for that. Anyway, I think we've covered about all we needed to cover this time around. Heck, we're half hour in. That's pretty good for a one-man show, and that's good enough for this episode of Nerds United. We'll be back next time in the Nerd Dome, wherever the Nerd Dome may take us, for my dogs, Lucky and Coco, who one's on the couch, one's on the floor, and Coco's always bending her body into ways that don't look at all comfortable. So long, good night, good day, good morning. Who knows when? What is this? The Truman Show. Jim Carrey. Good morning. And in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. And that's where we're at. Peace out.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.